The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, everybody. It's a in-season mailbag, which is quite a common breach. Even better news, Will Brinson is gone. We got a new third wheel, Brad White. Brad, how you doing? So here's the deal, Breach. Brinson's not really gone. So I'm sorry to have excited people listening or watching, thinking that they had finally rid themselves of Brinson. He's doing another podcast with Petey Prisco and RJ White, the Pick Spot. He'll be here in a second. Brad, for reasons unknown, other than he was trying to help St. Jude's, won the lottery? What was it? It was the eBay bid to come on the podcast with us and during a mailbag, an in-season mailbag. So, Brad, thank you for your generosity, and I apologize ahead of time for whatever Breach and Brinson end up saying. So, Breach, let's start quickly with Brad Gibbs' little recap. So we found out he lives in San Diego, and Brad, I'll just ask you, where are you at in your Chargers fandom? And what are your plans for the future if you're no longer a Chargers fan?
There is no Chargers fandom, right? Like it's a general premise for us as San Diegans. Like if your ex-girlfriend dumps you, kind of does it in a really bad way, you don't just necessarily root for them to have a whole bunch of success necessarily. I don't know how much spite is coming through, you know, on that. But yeah, we were die-hard Charger fans, man. Like that's some of my best memories as a kid is going there with my dad, going there with your friends. We used to take away trips every year. Like we went to the Steelers one year and found out that the whole place just dominated us with Sticks Renegade and almost like, you know, I mean, there's,
I don't want to age you. What year did you go to the Steelers game?
That was 2009, I believe. 2008.
Oh yeah. So Brad's like, what are you, like 30?
35.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That 2009 game. Is that the Troy Polamalu catch game? The interception?
It was a Sunday night game. We were down 28-0 like immediately. And then Phillip Rivers like stormed back and then threw like a bad pick at the very end of the game, which I could be describing a lot of different games.
That's right.
Now. But no, man, Pittsburgh was a great town. They gave us a lot of crap everywhere we went. We wore Chargers jerseys everywhere, but everybody, it was like a respect thing was all said and done. Very cool town. Wish we'd come away with a win. But now the Chargers leave, right? They go to LA, which is kind of like San Diego's natural rival anyway. So they didn't just leave us. They left to go to LA. So now we hate the Chargers and we hope they lose every game.
It's funny, Ryan. I also remember a Chargers game that was played in Pittsburgh. I don't know if Brad was there. The 1994 AFC Championship game. Do you remember anything about the Super Bowl run or are you too young?
That is one of my first memories of my dad like freaking out and like picking me up and running around, you know, the house. Like I was 7 years old and like very vividly remember the beating the Steelers for that game. And then remember getting just waxed by Steve Young and Jerry Rice and 6 touchdowns, I think it was, a couple weeks later. So every time San Diego like made it there, we didn't just get beat. We got like destroyed by the Niners and by the Yankees in 98 when we were the Padres. It was. So
Breach, here's how old I am. I was a senior in college and I remember quite vividly Stan Humphries and Natrell Means doing absolutely nothing in that game just because, I mean, that's a tall task.
Natrone means business, man.
That's right, man. UNC, baby. I was at the Heinz Field 2003 breach for a Chargers game. My buddy, his family had season tickets, and we went. It was late season. The Steelers sucked that year, so no one was at the game. But Doug Flutie started over Drew Brees. Drew Brees had been drafted in 02. Mm-hmm. And LaDainian Tomlinson played. And my last memory of that game wasn't that the Steelers won, because it was, again, not very exciting. It was that I went into the bathroom at some point in the game, and I saw this heavyset Chargers fan wearing a Ryan Leaf jersey passed out in a stall, like hugging the toilet. Like, that's how, like, that leaves the lasting impression, because the grossness was off the scale.
You know, what's messed up is that might have actually been Ryan Leaf at that time.
Ryan Leaf cleaned himself up. Shout out to Ryan Leaf for doing that. Might have been at the time. All right, it's mailbag time. Breach.
Mailbag.
Let's do it. This is from on Twitter. Madry Rua. I'm just making up names here. I think that's who it is. All right. We're almost one quarter of the way through the season. Unless they can exceed expectations, which coaches are in danger of getting fired in season and which are likely to be fired in January? My money for in season is on Matt Rhule, and for January, Cliff and Zach Taylor.
What?
Oof. So let's throw a couple other names in here as I look quickly. I'll throw in, you can tell me, both Brad and Breach, whether you agree midseason, end of season, or never. Ron Rivera, I'll throw in there. I mean, Lovie Smith, because they fire the coach every year.
I got one. He's on his way.
And what Brandon Staley, I'll mention, who I love. And then finally, I'll mention Josh McDaniels as well, who's 0-3 somehow.
I was thinking Nathaniel Hackett, if he has a few more.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, I was looking at the records. They're 2-1, and Nathaniel Hackett might be the top of the list. Breach, I'll start with you, and we'll see what Brad thinks after you impart your wisdom.
I would say Matt Rhule's got to be the obvious one. Zach Taylor, no offense to our mailbag person who asked this question, but I would have to say there's a 0% chance he gets fired after the season, even if they lose every game for the rest of the year and go 1-15.
Why is that? Because you've admitted that you don't know if he's a good coach.
But you are not firing your coach 1 year after he gets to the Super Bowl. Maybe two bad seasons later, you get rid of him. But when your team has not been to a Super Bowl in 33 years, you're not firing him 1 year later under any circumstance. So I think Zach Taylor is safe. I think Cliff Kingsbury is the interesting one, because the Cardinals, we were talking about teams that are kind of cheapskatey before the podcast. The Chargers were on the list. The Cardinals were on the list. The Bengals used to be on the list. But Cliff Kingsbury just signed a long extension. So do you really think, like, you could make the argument if they go 5-12 or something bad this year that maybe he should be on the hot seat? But also with the Cardinals,
that's also the same place where Steve Keim drafted quarterbacks in the top 10 in back-to-back years.
And no one judged him, even though he completely whiffed on.
And also, what about the dynamic? And I don't know if this will happen in Arizona, but typically happens when it's clear that the coaches screwing up and the GM tries to distance himself from the coach that he hired, and then, you know, the Game of Thrones thing takes over. So
Kingsbury's contract goes through 2027, so you're talking about you'd have to pay him 5 years worth of money. I don't know if they're gonna do that. So I think Staley's an interesting one, because we've already heard the reports that Sean Payton would be interesting in the Chargers job. And if you're the Chargers and you go, I don't know, 7-10, is that bad enough where you're the Spanos, you're like, you know what, let's just bring in Sean Payton.
Let's say, oh, look who it is.
What's up?
Brent. How are we doing? Got replaced.
What's up, Brad? How are we doing, man?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Sorry, I'm running late. I had to finish that pick show.
Brad, you'll notice that he did have a podcast, but he's chewing. So he took time to go probably to the bathroom.
My stomach was about to eat. I ran in there and ate some chips and salsa.
Okay, yep. I'll ask you the question that I've asked the new Pick Six podcast. You're the guest here, I guess.
Sounds perfect.
I know you'd be fine with that. Who's most likely to get fired? The first question from Madry Rua mentioned both in season and end of year. So Matt Rhule was mentioned as in season. Cliff and Zach Taylor was mentioned end of year. Breach keeps making the case for Zach Taylor, even though he doesn't like Zach. And then Breach makes the case that Cliff Kingsbury has a contract. I don't think it matters. And Brad made a good point.
Cardinals are pretty frugal, man.
That's what Breach says. But Brad made the good point that even though the team's 2-1, Nathaniel Hackett could be in the conversation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, if this team's 0-3, and remember, he wasn't
good.
He wasn't good, yes. He also wasn't hired by the new ownership.
Right.
Good point.
I mean, I think that's, like, the biggest deal, too. It's like, if I'm the Waltons
I mean, you don't want to come in and just be firing everybody, but you know, we saw it with you know, David Tepper is the last guy to do it, and certainly with Jimmy Haslam, where you come in and you're like, all right, you know, we'll be a little patient, but I don't think they'd fire Hackett mid-season. But if the theory that he was hired in order to get Aaron Rodgers to Denver and now like stinks with Russell Wilson is true, you don't think that's true?
No, I'm saying Russ. I mean, Aaron Rodgers may have been onto something. So that's why I shook my head.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't. That Hackett didn't actually like call plays specifically, right? When he was there,
the last time he called plays was I think in Jacksonville in 2018, and he was fired midseason.
Fair. That's kind of where I'm going. I feel I'm like connecting dots. Like it sounds like this cool thing, and then all of a sudden, after you make these crazy blunders, you kind of look back and you're like, oh wait a minute, this guy never.
Yeah.
And so I think that goes on. It's not just like losing; it's how you lose. Yeah. You know, like some of those crazy mishaps. I mean, if that continues with any regularity and you bring Russell Wilson over, he can't score any points. I don't know. That's why that one popped on my radar.
No. I think Hackett is live for sure. But and especially because you invested $250 million in Russ. And the thing about, you know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Jason Garrett made a good point on Sunday night.
That's possible. He went to Princeton.
Garrett's been pretty good on Sunday night.
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, he's like, you kidding me? I'm picking the Cowboys. But we reference this all the time, but it's, you know, when you hear a former head coach say it, like when you're a head coach and you're calling the plays, like you now are doing two jobs. You're no longer doing just the coordinating, and he wasn't even calling plays before. You're not just the head coach. You're doing, there's a lot on your plate. And I think Denver going out and getting him a decision coach in week two is pretty, or week three is pretty damning in terms of their confidence level. So yeah, I mean, Hackett, I don't think the Cardinals will fire Cliff unless it's just like a disastrous season.
Yeah, but I mean, that you're just going to keep paying him for terrible football?
I mean, you're paying him for
terrible football.
Either way, yeah.
All right, let me mention a couple other names and we'll move on here. I mentioned Josh McDaniels and Brandon Staley. Imagine three coaches get fired in the AFC West.
That would be incredible.
And Breach mentioned that Sean Payton Chargers rumors are strong.
Well, I think, too, Staley has, like, totally changed how he operates this year.
Which is completely weird. I don't get it.
It's so weird. And he left Herbert in way too long. Like, if something bad happens to Herbert, that's how you...
That was nuts.
Prisco was just railing on him on the other pod. And he's like,
it's crazy. Prisco doesn't like progress, though. He's like...
No, but I mean, like you don't need to be throwing passes up with, like, down 28 points to the Jaguars in, like, a week three game when your quarterback's got broken ribs and your all-pro left tackle just got hurt. I mean,
all right, rank him. In terms of likely to be the head coach next September, Hackett, Staley, McDaniels.
I think McDaniels is one because
he's not getting fired.
They just hired him, and you know he's got the GM on his side too. And it's, you know, they still, I don't know what they still deal. Are they still paying Gruden? Like, you know, like there's a lot of money. They don't have a ton of money. There's a lot of money tied up in coaches.
A lot of money tied up in bowl cuts.
I'd say Staley two, and then Hackett three.
That's hysterical. By the way, that's reverse order of wins.
The standings, I know, right? Yeah.
All right. Quickly, one more. Ron Rivera, 1-2. Team looks terrible.
Yes, but Ron Rivera, I believe at this point, has entrenched himself deeply enough in the Washington organization that it would probably take a forced sale from Daniel. Like, Daniel Snyder is not in the position to fire Ron Rivera.
No, he's worried about other stuff.
Like, because they did this whole leadership team at the front of the Washington organization. So you have Rivera, and it's like Jason Wright, the head guy. Is it Julie Donaldson, who's like the, you know, doing media? I think they buy into the changes that have made culturally in that building since Ron Rivera took over, and would not want to try and change that because, like, I don't know that they. I mean, obviously they care about winning games. But I think they're like more concerned about turning, like, basically steering the Titanic away from the iceberg and then figuring out how to win games. So I think Rivera has too much power and too much control there at the current moment to get fired unless it's just like a totally disastrous season.
All right. You want to take over? I'm going to keep reading these.
No, you keep going. I like this job.
At Stub67 writes, with Trevor Lawrence starting to look like the real deal. Thanks, Doug. Should we go downgrade Uncle Urban from the worst NFL head coach ever to worst head coach in all of American sports ever? Okay, so the first question is, who's been a worse coach, like, that pops into your head after thinking?
All
right.
First of all, from an NFL perspective, there's nobody ever worse.
No.
Like, objectively, Urban Meyer, you can ask anybody. Objectively, Urban Meyer is the worst head coaching hire in the history of professional football.
What about
his expectations, how he performed, and all
that? What about any sport? I'm trying to think of
that. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Like, what would even be a good comp? Breach, what are some terrible Bengals coaches?
Oh,
Dave Shula would be the first one that crosses.
You got to get outside of the. You got to get outside of the NFL.
Breach didn't even hesitate. He had Dave. He was waiting for Dave Shula to be.
I just wanted to be asked right away.
But he,
I'll tell you who was. I'll tell you who's a really bad coach.
Some NC State nonsense.
Sidney Lowe.
Okay, but he wasn't as bad as Urban Meyer. It is hard to find a situation where it was so dysfunctional so quickly. And I said it before when he got fired at the time. If you go back and read, I can't remember who wrote it for ESPN. It was some long form thing, really well done. It may have been Wright Thompson. I'm not sure, but he went and covered Urban at Ohio State, and you read it and like, oh, this guy's a hard worker. But when you read it in the light of what happened in Jacksonville, like, oh, this makes perfect sense. Sort of what Brad was talking about when you sort of connect the dots. Like, oh yeah, how did anyone not see this coming?
I do have two though that we could. I feel like Urban's probably the top of the list, but Hugh Jackson.
No.
Spent a lot of time on this podcast.
Not even close.
You win one game in zero games. You win one game in two seasons, Wilson.
How did he win the first season?
He's done some crazy, crazy things.
They went 8-8 in Oakland, and he's a good offensive coordinator. I mean, he's not great.
No, I'm talking about his Browns tenure.
I get it, but his body of work.
Number two would be Bobby Petrino.
Petrino's the closest.
Petrino's
the closest one. I mean, he left in a letter, like in a locker or something.
Dipped out without telling anyone.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
But he also kicked zero kickers. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yes.
And the body of work thing is tricky, too, because if you do body of work, Urban's like off the table. Like, Urban's got multiple national titles. Petrino has won some, like won at Louisville once, but he also had that motorcycle accident in Arkansas.
But Bobby Petrino also didn't coach at Florida and Ohio State. Now, I think it's fair to say that Urban turned Florida around. Is that right? I didn't follow.
No, Brinson hit the nail on the head. With Urban, it can only be from a professional perspective.
Yeah, that's why I don't think Hugh qualifies.
The question is like, do you include all of Hugh's professional stuff, or do you just include the Browns' tenure?
No, because he was the head coach of Oakland, and they weren't.
Well, you have to include him on the Browns if you're like apples to apples, only including Urban.
That's what I'm saying.
On the Jags, but still, I still think Urban's worse.
He's worse.
Ugh. I mean, he didn't fly home with his team. Speaking of leaving a note, he didn't leave a note when he showed up to his own bar, right?
And that was before he got fired.
Hugh was okay with the Raiders, he gave up two first-round picks for Carson Palmer. He like gifted the Bengals. There were other bad decisions he made.
Well, what's the follow-up? What did the Bengals use those two first-round picks on? Because it could have been
to the playoffs five straight years, Ryan.
How many games did they win
after that trade?
I didn't hear you.
What they did. They went to the playoffs five straight years.
And how many games did they win?
That doesn't matter. That's what they did. They built a playoff team with those picks.
They built a playoff team. No, they built a team that went to the
first round.
Trade
was in 2011, and they went to the playoffs five straight years. I would say that they were pretty smart drafting.
Excuses are for losers.
I can't believe you're the guy in this podcast defending Hugh Jackson.
I know, right? That's fair enough.
I Googled like worst coaches ever, so I found this is an interesting one. Joe Quinn. Remember Joe Quinn?
Did he coach out west?
In 1895, Quinn ran 39 games for the St. Louis Browns. He went 11-28. It was his most successful season ever. In 1899, clearly feeling that he hadn't found rock bottom yet, Quinn commandeered the Cleveland Spiders to a 12-104 record.
Wait a second. There was professional football.
Magic 8-Ball could get a better record than that. That's a pretty good line. Who wrote that?
There was professional football in the
This
late
is a baseball
1800s?
coach.
Oh, I'll say, wait a second.
I was going outside of football.
Okay.
Lane Kiffin probably deserves like at least a.
No.
Oh, Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I didn't watch NBA, but he was sort of a cancer in the locker room too, wasn't he?
He went 56-108 while coaching the Knicks,
which is immeasurably better than what Urban Meyer did percentage wise.
Yeah,
but I think
there's a bunch of harassment stuff too there. So
okay. Well, as Brad noted, the kicker could make the harassment argument as well.
Probably as close as it's going to get, though. That's
Josh Lambeau.
Yeah. It's pretty, that's what it's saying. It's like pretty hard to get. How is it so hard to get worse than Urban? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, here's the joke. He'll be coaching football next year or the year after.
I can't believe he's on TV instantly, like right back at it. Like it's fine.
But they waited till like the very last possible second to like Fox ended out like 1-5 like on a Sunday. They're like, Urban is joining our college football.
Why would they pimp that? I said, why would they promote that?
Dave Shula is popping up on a lot of these lists, by the way.
Yeah, Breach wasn't kidding about that. All right, Debo says we have to take a break. We'll take a break, come back, do a few more mailbags.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
All right, we're back. Brinson's still here. Didn't even go get some ice.
I don't know.
E. Blazel asks on the old Twitter machine, what's more likely, the AFC West has a losing record against the AFC South, off to a good start, or a team with a different quarterback than the year before wins the Super Bowl for the third straight year? So Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Mitch Trubisky, or Column A? The South beat the crap out of the West last week.
I think it's less likely a quarterback from a new team because it's basically Russell Wilson or what, Carson Wentz.
Matt Ryan.
I literally just said Mitch Trubisky, Brad.
Somehow Mitch Trubisky and Super Bowl just went 1 year right
and Brad just dumping on my Super Bowl pick, man. Gosh, that hurts.
Carson Wentz, also
the Broncos, man. The Broncos.
It's
Breach won't stop hyping this.
Disaster. Hey, they're 2-1. They're 1 yard line fumbles away from being 3-0, Brinson.
So I think Jimmy G doesn't count because he was already there.
Never left.
I think that's it. So Matt Ryan.
With Cooper Rush getting the Cowboys Super Bowl, does that count?
No, I think they couldn't be on the roster last year. Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, Mariota, Matt Ryan would count.
Baker Mayfield
would count.
Baker Mayfield. I think there's a better chance that the AFC South dominates the AFC West.
I think so, too.
Geno Smith.
Oh, my gosh.
Geno was on the Seahawks.
He was there last year.
Well, it says the AFC West has to have a losing record, and I think that is the much better chance, obviously, because they're already 1-3, and if they just go 6-6 the rest of the way, they have a losing record. They're 7-9, so somehow they have to go above 500.
I'm glad that you finally admit that the Broncos is a bad pick, Breach. Thank you.
What is happening here?
Ouch. That
circular logic hurts my heart.
All right. At John Steichen asks, oh, do you want to say something, Breach?
No, I'm just saying that Brinson hurts my heart.
Oh, yeah. No, we agree. At John Steichen asks on Twitter, if you could put one player from the 70s, 80s, and 90s in today's game, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is Lawrence Taylor without reading the rest of the sentence. Yeah. Let's see if it has any no drug use stipulations in the rest of the sentence. Who would they be, and for which teams would you put them on? Something like Randy Moss with the Packers or Lawrence Taylor with the Bills. Good Lord, the Bills have so many edge rushers now. They don't need Lawrence Taylor. I think a team like the Raiders could use Lawrence Taylor for sure. Like that would be something.
I think what he's saying is like, let's get him in the best possible spot where it's like you put him on the Bills and suddenly like Lawrence Taylor is.
Yeah, but Randy Moss to the Packers makes sense because they're young wide receivers. I
mean, Randy Moss would do some damage on the Packers.
Well, I guess you just put everyone on the Bills, or you put everyone on the Packers, or I can't put them on the Chargers, unfortunately. There's only one undefeated on the Dolphins. Okay, so let's see. So let's start with the 70s. I don't even know if you guys have any 70s references. I don't have that many 70s references. Anyone have any 70s teams there? Players
I would say initially like Barry Sanders in today's like pass happy world, but maybe like Walter Payton would apply if we're going 70s. So
I'd like to see LaDainian Tomlinson. Does that mean that count?
That's 2000.
2000s. I guess 2000s.
Yeah, he's 2000s. That's why I went Barry Sanders.
Yeah, Barry Sanders.
I would like to see any good great quarterbacks from those eras be coached by Andy Reid, whether it's
Randall Cunningham.
Dan Marino.
With protection, but not being able to get hit. Dan Marino.
Randall Cunningham, Steve Young. Any of these guys.
I would like to see Joe Montana, because Joe Montana is probably the closest to, like, a little more mobile than Tom Brady. He's not the athlete that – well, Dan Marino's not an athlete, but he was bigger. Not the athlete of Randall Cunningham. Who was the other quarterback you mentioned, Breach?
Steve Young, Dan Marino. But I feel like Montana had such a brilliant coach that he – like, That's true. Walsh got almost everything you could out of Joe Montana.
Yeah, but, like, also every, like, 70% of the offenses in the league right now are running what, like, Walsh and Montana ran. So, like, he'd be – plop in and just be able to just like
that's true too.
Him running an Andy Reid system would be incredible,
or in Belichick and Josh McDaniel system.
Yeah.
So okay, that's 70s. I think like Joe Theismann. I don't think I want Joe Theismann. Like he was fine. Who else in the 70s? Anyone stick out? Who are the Rudy Rudiger? Would you like to see him, Debo? Play on one of the on the today's Eagles team. What about
Mel Vince Blunt?
Right? Hold on, Breach. What's that, Debo?
I said like your guy Mel Blunt or someone like that. Ooh. From that Steelers Steel Curtain.
Yeah, that's a good call. Or actually, they could use Dermonti Dawson. They could use anyone on the offensive line from those 70s and 80s teams.
Jerry Rice would be acceptable.
Jerry Rice, yeah. I don't know if I'd want to see the defensive players from back then play now, because then they would just get flags all the time. You know,
I was going to say Lester Hayes for the Raiders. I don't know if you guys remember Lester Hayes. Lester Hayes had a Jerry curl, and he used to put Stick'Em on his hands, and I think they outlawed Stick'Em because he used to put it, but they used to just maul guys all the way down the field.
Throw Reggie White on the Rams.
Oh gosh.
Aaron Donald.
Reggie White, the minister of defense. I think it was his nickname, right? That's a great nickname.
Yeah, it's a great nickname.
Okay, there's Reggie White. So, I mean, that's the 70s, 80s. Even Jim Kelly in the 80s. Actually, I think maybe he was early 90s. Because I think
he's the 90s.
I think late 80s he was in
USFL. God, what do you know? You don't know anything?
Well, I think he was USFL late 80s.
He's 90s because they lost four straight Super Bowls in the 90s.
Yeah, he went to the AFC Championship game in 88.
Oh, he did? Okay. Because I knew he did UFC first. USFL first. But I love Barry Sanders. I love Walter Payton, which Brad mentioned, like wide receivers. Who are the dominant wide receivers outside of Jerry Rice, like in the 70s and 80s? What do you think Chris Collinsworth will look like on today's Bengals team, Breach?
He would spend his whole time giving people water because he'd be the water bottle.
Be on special teams.
Water boy.
I mean, he was a good athlete.
No, he was a great athlete and great for that team, but they just have some, you know, like he's not starting on a roster that has Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins.
All right, Breach. I'm going to put you
a special teams guy, and he could.
Collinsworth just not starting on the Bengals roster.
He's not starting on this Bengals roster.
Not on this Bengals roster.
Have you seen the Bengals wide receivers?
Yeah, they're good.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. He would definitely crack the roster, and he would
crack the roster.
All right, Breach. I'm going to put you in an incredibly tough spot. Prime time, Jim Breach or Evan McPherson.
Ooh. Dude,
I can't believe you're hesitating.
Evan McPherson can kick from 20 yards further than my dad ever could. So for that reason alone.
Are you serious right now?
It's going to be an awkward Thanksgiving.
I think my dad would take Evan McPherson. Although my dad never missed clutch kicks. So for that reason, I would consider taking him.
Please make this a YouTube short, because this is unconscionable. The words that just came out of John Breach's mouth.
My dad would be disappointed in me if I didn't take Evan McPherson.
Your dad with today's technology would kick the ball 20 yards further.
You don't think Chris Collinsworth would be better with today's technology?
No, I think he would be better, and he would make the roster. He would be on the team.
He made the All-Pro when he played for the Bengals.
Yes, I follow the Bengals more closely than you do, Brent. Is he starting ahead of T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd?
Tyler Boyd.
No. Are you drunk? Get out of here.
Baby?
He's on the team. He's the fourth or fifth receiver. He makes the team. Yes, absolutely.
Just make the roster.
Just like Jim Breach would concede to Evan McPherson, 100% Chris Collins were saying, I should be the number five wide receiver of this team.
He certainly could be a starting receiver.
Collins was the team's league receiver and set the Bengals franchise record for receptions by a rookie with 67, the most by an NFL rookie wide receiver in 21 years.
What a weird flex.
I demand Jamar Chase on the bench. I want Chris Collinsworth.
Sports Illustrated 1981. We all know his career was bookended. He went to two Super Bowls. He was good.
Yeah, absolutely. But
that doesn't mean he's better than the top three guys they have right now.
So, Brad, who was your favorite Chargers player growing up? I don't know if you remember back to the 80s, but 90s.
Stan Humphries and Natrone Means Business, as I was telling you about. Like, from the time I was a little kid, it was Natrone Means Business. Like, I was like, you know, for sure. But no, LT and Antonio Gates, man. I mean, like, that's.
Oh, Antonio Gates. That's
that LT and Antonio Gates was just our prime, man. Like, it's everywhere you'd go, you'd be somebody would yell Antonio and everyone else would go Gates. Like, it was like,
that's great.
So, like, have you ever seen
third and eight or third and seven? The whole stadium knew it was going to happen every time. And Antonio Gates would just box out, he wouldn't outrun anybody. It was just amazing. It was awesome. So,
have you ever seen the highlights of the Dolphins Chargers game from back in the early 80s with Dan Fouts and Kerry Winslow? Like,
Winslow off the field. Yeah, I've got the Lance Allworth throwback jersey still in there somewhere. Yes,
that I watched that game as a whatever I was, 8 or 9 year old, and that. I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And that's, again, Don Coryell sort of opened it up offensively before everyone else did outside of Bill Walsh, it felt like. Yeah. All right, that's a pretty good question, John. Thank you for that. Ross Hazard. Although, thank you. Yeah, thank you, John, for a couple things. Number one, that the clip that Breach would rather have Evan McPherson as dad. And number two, the most idiotic thing Breach ever said.
Weird Collinsworth Island.
Sweet Jesus. All right, at Ross Hazard asks.
I'm trying to get a job at PFF with Collinsworth.
Yeah. I think my old dog just fell off the bed upstairs. I heard something crash. Either that I'm getting broken into. So dial 9-1 and then hover over 1 in case I get bum rushed in a second. All right, ask Ross Hazard.
No, do not end the live stream if Wilson gets jumped by a stranger. Yeah. Have you been watching Dahmer, Wilson?
No, but I've been watching like some documentaries about serial killers.
I just watched some of that, yeah.
I started watching, like, so it's hilarious. Have you seen the
It sounds like a laugh.
No. The episode descriptions, like the first one's like it says, after a nosy neighbor inquires about the smell of his apartment, Jeff throws her off the scent. He then heads to a bar where he has a chance encounter with a stranger. And it's like it could read as like a Friends episode. And you're like, oh my God, they're talking about like a man eating serial killer.
You know, you told us the story already.
I did.
Yeah. I feel like I'm talking to my wife right now. I just have to nod.
Whatever.
And that's what she says.
Prince is cut off.
At Russ Hazard asks, is Chris Collinsworth the best player in big? Oh, no, that's it. Is Tom.
What is happening?
Is Tom Brady's age finally catching up with him in regards to his performances this season, or is it due to the Bucs receiving core being depleted? I think it's the receiving core question. Like, Tom looks disinterested, but I think he looks disinterested in the same way that Aaron Rodgers does when he's like, I'm not dealing with this right now. I'll regroup next week. But I'm not concerned about it.
I think Tom is, one, it's the offensive line is a problem, worse than it was last year. Two, the wide receivers just haven't been healthy or haven't been around. And then three, like, didn't he say that he like rushed the decision to come back because the Bucs were kind of like forcing him into a position? And so he wasn't.
He said that?
I think he said that, didn't he?
I thought a lot of other reasons.
The agency coming up, and they needed to know before that.
They needed to know, but he was like, yeah. I mean, I think he said that it sort of rushed his decision. And then, of course, you know, like Giselle comes out and she does the Vogue profile, and it's like, it's my time to. So it's like, you know, he's just got a lot going on right now.
L Magazine.
Yeah, get it right.
Just, I don't want Brinson giving Vogue a shout out.
All right, is Tom Brady.
Vogue wrote about Chris Collinsworth.
Is Tom Brady slipping? That's not what Ross asked. Ross said, is age finally catching up to him? But is Tom Brady the same player he was 12 months ago? How about that?
Relatively. He's probably like 85-90%. But, man, I'm telling you, when you got your wife mad at you the entire time because you're not around the family, you know, that's going to wear on you as much as age will. I don't know. I'm taking Dorsey, I think, because it's probably the biggest culprit.
You're taking Giselle?
I think he's stressed out all the time.
I think he's constantly getting harangued by his billionaire wife.
Well, here's the thing.
I've gotten harangued for much, much worse than that and had it affect my day.
I've had situations, and it doesn't have to just be the wife, it can be other stuff. But like when I play golf, if I've got something that's like lingering, you know, like you're thinking about it, you're not gonna play as well. And I think
it's not work. We know that.
Work stress.
But here's the thing. Why would you retire, tell your wife you retired, and then 30 days later say, you know what? Psych. And I know you can be really angry with me, but guess what I'm going to do? That seems not very well thought out.
I think he did it. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I think exactly. He did that.
I just want one more. Are you cool with this? And then it was like, oh, you're really not that cool with this. But like, oh no, like I'm back. Like, okay, just give me one more season, I promise.
And it's also one of those things where like, if you work at a law firm and like you say, you're a partner or whatever, yeah, I'll come back for one more year. You can actually back out of that. You can't back out of coming back to the NFL for one more year unless you're Brett Favre.
Oh gosh.
Which is a whole nother conversation. All right, so Breach, you didn't weigh in. Do you think it's his age, or do you think it's the wide receivers? Do you think it's Giselle? What do you think it is?
I just think it's everything, but probably mostly these injuries. Like, you lose Gronk. Chris Godwin's banged up. Mike Evans was suspended last week. You freaking had to go out and sign Cole Beasley, who's starting and out there catching passes 4 days after he got signed. The offensive line is in shambles. And, you know, if you're 45 years old, that you don't have any of the stuff you're used to. You know, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You don't want to. You want to be in your comfort zone when you're 45. And
speaking of that, what are the chances Gronk is on the field at some point this year for the Buccaneers?
I would say 25%.
That sounds about right.
Low. I don't think Gronk's.
Well, there's the every time you not every time you turn around occasionally and you see reports.
Wait, for instance, you don't think Gronk will return?
What else?
Okay,
he do?
How about if he does, you get a Gronk tattoo?
Oh wait, what's oh my God? Do we find out about the podcast awards tomorrow?
Oh my God.
I bet Debo knows now. He's just holding back.
I may have some information.
That sounds promising.
That's ominous. Oh my God.
Brad, do you have any tattoos?
I don't. No. I know you do now, though. That was.
That would have been five people on this podcast with no tattoos or no thoughts of getting.
By the way, I bummed. I wasn't one of those 25% of people. I didn't get the second vote to try to help contribute to Brinson's tattoo. So I was definitely hoping that I would. I wasn't one of the chosen 25% or whatever that system was you described. So.
It is pretty, and there's also this weird situation where like maybe allegedly various people in the company told other podcasts not to promote themselves in order to, and maybe to promote us, like go vote for Pick Six in order to make me get the tattoo.
I can see that.
Yeah, no, that adds up. Yeah,
I don't know if it's a HR violation. Who's to say?
That seems on brand for everyone.
Yeah.
I think now the tattoo should have some mention of Chris Collinsworth, whatever it ends up being, because that was I didn't see that coming.
To be fair, Collinsworth just the other day said that Cooper Kupp wasn't that athletic, right? So, like, I don't know, maybe he's getting a little of his on Breach on this. Maybe Breach is giving a little comeuppance back. I couldn't. My friends and I were sitting there, were like, did he just say Cooper Kupp's only successful because he has breakfast with Matt Stafford?
Yeah, he basically did.
We're like, is that what he just said?
That sounds like me. Talking of Hunter Renfrow is a poor man's Cooper Kupp, which made Brinson so angry.
It did make me angry.
That's interesting. All right. At Can't Guard Mike D, my favorite Beastie Boy, by the way, asks, Saints fan going to the Pittsburgh game in November, what pub should we go to and other things to do? Huh. Breach, I'm trying to think. You don't go to Pittsburgh for games or anything, do you?
I've been to two games in Pittsburgh ever. I think it was 2001, 2002, and then 2006.
The funny thing is Brad might be the person on this podcast who's been to Pittsburgh most recently. I left Pittsburgh in 2003. Holy crap, I left in 2003. So I haven't been there in 19 years. Lived there for 3 years. So I'm sure a lot has changed. And when you went, Brad, you were still – an adolescent.
I was 21, 22.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah. I'd be lying if I had the best memory of all the particular places.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good that you had fun. You just don't remember where you went.
No. I know there was that one big, like, brick-style bar, like, right before you get on that little, like, boat to go over to the stadium, like, on the river there. And
could you be a little less specific? Because I think you're adding too much detail.
Brick Building in Pittsburgh. You're right. Yeah, really narrowed that one down. I don't remember the names. Anyone. It's a fun town. I'll tell whoever this is asking, like, you will not be short of some cool, vibrant places to visit. It's a pretty fun town for football games.
For the 2001 game, my brothers and I went to Applebee's after the game. So I can recommend Applebee's.
You can? C-A-N?
It was delicious.
I know we went to a place called Eaton Park, which to this day we laugh because you do have to park before you eat. So
that place is the bomb. It was there to
sound. You have to say that place? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little, trying to think. It's like it's a diner. It's like a chain diner in Western Pennsylvania. Goodies there. So I just Google this.
But Brad, is it better than Applebee's?
Yes, 100%. Okay.
I mean, I'm not, again, I already destroyed two sponsors yesterday, so I don't want to destroy another one. But like, is it better than Applebee's? Is a curious question, John.
I said I went to Applebee's. What is wrong with that?
I'm not trying to poo-poo Applebee's, but I'm not trying to let you sit here and just hype up Applebee's. Like,
I'm not hyping up Applebee's.
And I'm just worried Applebee's is like.
I said I went to Applebee's. Brinton, you make a big deal of the weirdest things.
All right, so here's the thing. I googled quickly best Steelers bars, which obviously the person Mike could have done himself, because honestly, the last time I was there, I lived in Squirrel Hill, and then I lived in Regent Square. I used to go to a place called Ryan's Pub. I don't even know if it's still there in Regent Square. And in Squirrel Hill, I don't even remember the bar we used to go to. Neither is close to downtown where the stadium is. So Carson City Saloon got some mentions. Buxy's Salty Dog Saloon got some mention. McFadden's. I don't know if BMAC owns that, but if it is, either way.
Ooh, is Stein's Ward Bar still there? Because I remember they had 86-cent beers, and we had a good time. That was, I don't know how bad inflation's been since then, but like, you know, 86-cent beers is pretty sweet.
Yeah, let's see. Is it still there?
Right, wait, did you Google best Steelers fans bars?
Best Steelers, best bars near Heinz Field.
Well, because I was just going to say that, like, if he's a Saints fan, you know, coming from New Orleans, maybe you're used to good food. Maybe you don't, maybe you don't want to go sit with a bunch of Steelers fans. So is there options for?
Yeah, I get it, but I mean, I don't. If you like good food, I would stay in New Orleans. I mean, Pittsburgh has good food, no doubt. But I mean, Debo, I mean, Brinson asking about Applebee's. So Heinz Ward's restaurant closed in 2019, and I was sort of laughing when you mentioned that, Brad, because it's funny. Like these athletes want to open restaurants, which are like the toughest business to make a profit in, but yeah, they insist on doing it. So yeah, I guess it didn't work out. At least this one.
I can't imagine the 86-cent beers didn't contribute to the profitability that place had.
Why are you charging lesser beers than the wholesale price?
It needed to be like $8.60 for a bucket of beers or something. Yeah, like
that. We're like, really? That's
Or $8.60 for like a premium double IP that you would pay for.
Well, I had never even heard of Yingling until we'd gotten there, because that's not on the West Coast. And so they were
like,
really? Okay, I guess we'll try 20 of these.
Yeah. You can drink 20 Yinglings too.
I'd be drinking 400 Yinglings.
Yeah, that's
a $20 bill for the rest of the day and your tip. Like, okay.
All right, that's it for the questions from the mailbag. Brad, you got any questions for us?
Yeah. Brad, want to ask him?
Oh, I didn't do a ton of preparing on that. I was one question I was just kind of going to ask you guys is like, do you feel like that your jobs and doing all this makes you not love like football at its core as much anymore? Because like when it's your job and you do something all the time, I wonder. Like I'm a diehard football fan. It's like my hobby. Like on Sundays, the wife and kids know. Like dad's doing this fantasy football. You know, got my bets going on. My friends and all like that. And I was so you kind of think like
that's a great question.
You think if you're in my position, you're like, man, how cool would that be if that was like your job? Like you got to just talk about. But then I also like, no, you know what? Like eventually that might like numb these guys a little bit more to like when they were initially just football fans. I don't know. So.
Well, Renson says he's not a Panthers fan. He is a Panthers fan. We know Breach is a hardcore Bengals fan. I'm a hardcore Steelers fan, but I will say this. Like I was actually just thinking about this the other day. Like I love English Premier League soccer for the exact reason you're talking about, Brad, because I don't have to think about anything other than watching the games, and then the rest of the week I can do my day job. I still love football. Like I get a lot of enjoyment out of it, but I think the thing for me is that I resign myself to the Steelers being terrible because Big Ben's gone primarily. And I'm okay with that. Years ago, I would get very angry on Sundays where I wouldn't want to talk about it, which is in retrospect sort of silly. But yeah, I think to an extent that's sort of worn off the appeal of football.
I've said this, I think at like the beginning of each season, but it's like the longer you do it too, right? Like this wasn't the case for me. I don't think the first 3 or 4 years that I was, you know, at CBS or doing this and covering it. And that's not a CBS thing or a me thing or an NFL thing. It's just like the repetition of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when you're a decade into it and you know, you know what the pattern is and it does, you know, do you get a little numb to it? Like, I'm like, you know, now don't get me wrong. Like something, I think like when, you know, something like an insane play or a great game happens, I'm still, you know, I still love football. I still love watching football. And I'm driving down to Clemson, South Carolina to go to a football game, you know, this weekend. And, there is like a numbness to it. I think sometimes where you're like, you know, it's like Monday night in week 7, and it's like Jets at Titans, and you're like, you know what? I just don't care. I don't care about this game. No, I'm going to watch it and I'm going to talk about it. Well, but it's like you're just like, I think there is a little bit of that where it wasn't quite, and that's also part of like getting older too. I think, you know, like I don't think I'm a crabby like sports writer type or old journalist or anything like that. It's just like
you're not Prisco.
Yeah, when you do something for a decade, sometimes you do get a little like a little frayed around the edges in terms of like your interest level. I think
that numb is a good word for me as far as it's numb. Like
that's the pain of being a Beagles fan.
Well, no,
what's happening here?
I'm not going to use it the same way you are because you're talking about in the job sense. I'm talking about it as being a fan where it's kind of numb my fandom toward the Bengals, where I don't get too high or low during the regular season, and I don't even if there are points where I can't watch their entire game because I have to watch other games for my job, then that's fine. It's not anything that bothers me. You know, that came back during the playoff run when it was like, oh my God, this is what it was like 15 years ago when I was locked in every minute of every game. And so that was awesome. But now we've been doing this so long that I try to watch every game through the same lens and not, you know, you're not playing favorites. You're just trying to look at every single team.
So Breach, when was the first year that you didn't watch every snap of every Bengals game?
I mean, probably 2017. They had, you know, obviously went to the playoffs 5 straight years, and that run started before I started covering the NFL. And so you stay very interested when they're good. 2016 was a bad year. And then it was just kind of after that just became, you know what? It's not a huge deal if I miss
a quarter here and there. 2020 was the first year I didn't watch every snap.
Really? So later than, but the one thing I will say about the NFL is that the storylines are so crazy, whether it's Antonio Brown, you know, freezing his feet, Tom Brady retiring, unretiring, is that there's so many crazy things happening all the time that it makes your job is never boring. And I think this would be a lot harder if things were boring, and because it keeps you on the toes and because there's excitement all the time, I think it helps be able to do this for a long time. But I could see how people, you know, I don't want to say get bored, but like Brinson says, get.
It's like I'll be honest. I was getting burned out just covering the NFL, just writing all the time. I don't write anymore now.
Yeah,
the podcast helped with that. Oddly enough, Brinson somehow saved me from being bored.
Wow. Clip and save that.
You know what the crazy thing? I get
flush that out, Brinson.
Well, wow, thanks, Brad. I should give you the God. I'm gonna. I can't believe you just said that.
No, I said you saved me from being bored. I mean, look, there's nothing boring about you.
Well, no, but that is a good point. It's not like the repetition of the NFL season. Maybe it's the job, and like you know, do the podcast every single day. It does, you know, it is repetitive. To Breach's point, I felt like I don't care one way or another if the Panthers are any good, but I did find in 2015 when they made that run to the Super Bowl that I was like, oh my God, like I might be there to watch the Panthers win their first Super Bowl in franchise history. Like this is like I'm kind of I found myself rooting for them.
And front runner is what you're saying.
Well, no, I don't.
Fairweather fan, is that what you're saying?
The big playoff run, you like it just stirs up emotions that you just hadn't like really had in a long time. Like, and like, now don't get me wrong, like NC State's performance week to week basically will determine my mood on Monday morning, you know, disgusting.
Well, and it's funny that you and Wilson both brought up college football, and there is something to that too, because like when you watch college football, it's totally relaxing. You can have a drink, you can
party,
you can do whatever you want, and just kind of enjoy it instead of watching it for certain angles or certain things you're trying to write about after the game. And so there, you have more appreciation.
Like for Brad, your Sunday that you're describing, is like my Saturday, where it's like I know what I'm going to that game. I'm going to tailgate.
But Brad doesn't get upset though. He's just enjoying football.
Well, to be fair though, back when the Chargers definitely ruined my mood, came Monday morning, and they did that on way too many occasions.
Way too many, yeah.
By the way, like side question here, I know Breach that like Cincinnati always gets terrorized for being like just horrible sports stuff over their career. Cleveland, right, was like the epitome. Detroit, right, gets a lot of that. But like us, those of us are like diehard San Diego sports fans we never get any attention for this. Like we literally have never won a championship. Any sport, they took two of our three sports away from us. And like, if you really stop and think about it, there was like the Padres in 84, and then they got swept by the Tigers. The Padres in 98, they got swept by the Yankees. That's it. No championships in baseball. And then in football, we got.
I mean, and like you guys are basically, and like with a literal connection, the NC State, the professional, like NC State, you know, Philip Rivers.
Yep.
Like, it's just like heartbreak hotel with the Chargers. I mean, it, yeah.
So no, believe me, like I numb was a perfect word because after a certain period of time, like the Padres, like, you know, we made all these trades, we get Juan Soto, and all of us are like, no, just wait.
Yeah. Don't worry. The pain is coming.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think numb is a perfect world because it's like, and it's also like sat like Sunday becomes, you know, I mean, it's like I love watching football. I love setting like, you know, doing fantasy, like and doing DFS and all that. But Sunday is a, you know, it is a work day. Like, yeah. You know, granted, watching football is a great job.
I'm laughing thinking about the working when you had a wedding to go to down near the Fort Lauderdale offices, and you spent the whole Sunday on the couch in the green room. And our boss is like, "Are you going to get up?" And you're like, "No."
I was like, "I can't. I'm so too hungover. Sorry." He's like, "You got to do some work." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
So if he's willing to do that at work, literally at work, in front of his employers, imagine what he does at his house.
Oh man,
there's some perks to the job. That's what I heard there. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you get to watch. You know, you get to watch football. I mean, yeah.
Hey, let me ask this question real quick. I don't know what you do for living, Brad, but Breach and Brinson, because I've had this conversation with myself 1,000 times. What would you do if you had to get like what would be your first and no Wait, family?
Is this a we get fired by CBS and you're not allowed to work in sports media?
No family or friend connections, but where would you try to get a job, if a non-sports job, if you were no longer in the sports business? Like I would literally go to like the Target at Home Depot. Like I would like,
you've always thought about being like a Walmart greeter.
That wouldn't be the greeter. I'd be like a stock person.
Well,
now you
can make like $20 an hour doing that, so that might actually work, Wilson.
You don't have to talk to people necessarily. You just stock things and go about your business. Like I don't think I'd go back to an office is what I'm trying to say.
No, office is not a functional place for me. It's not, I say office is not good for
least
me.
Surprising thing I've heard.
Breach has never had a real job outside of sports either.
That's true.
I think I would write, just it wouldn't be about sports. I'd find something else to write about politics, travel, something.
You can't do that sports. Though. You have to do something completely out of left
what?
Field.
That's my point. Well, that is out of left field.
I mean, I can't go be a lawyer without like going to law school, right?
Not legally, no. Breach could be a brain surgeon using that.
Oh, man. Brinson, I could imagine like a drama on TV, like Will Brinson, the illegal lawyer.
Okay.
Didn't go to law school.
I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
Crazy Will Brinson's here.
It's like you have to have like the specific skill set to do this job where you're like talking on camera or like, you know, writing constantly is like it's not very applicable to a lot of others.
Sounds like all three of us be working at Home Depot. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I don't know what I would do.
All right, I'll think about it. Because
you're gonna be a cook or something, be working at a restaurant.
You could be a bartender.
I'm not saying you should be worried about it, but you should be thinking about it. All right, Debo, what would you be doing because you went to school for this?
It's a good question. Probably run like a travel TikTok or like rap TikTok account.
Are you BS or are you serious?
I'm serious. I'd like apply things within this job, social media, or
can a travel or rap TikTok be a full time job?
His travel TikTok could mesh with my travel MySpace. We could combine.
Maybe run like an Etsy store or something like that.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, actually,
I feel really old right now. I didn't even know any of those things were like options for like jobs.
I'm gonna run an Etsy store. It's like, oh, I didn't know that.
Maybe a nice little drop shipping business, Amazon drop shipping business.
What's that?
Wilson, if you don't know, you don't know.
We'll save it for another pod.
All right.
You know, I would get into some kind of sales.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are you not selling cars or something? Like,
software sales or something like that. And like
software? You'd be like,
Brinson is selling. He's selling white windowless vans.
You know what I would
do? To Breach.
I always tell my buddy Chip Hamner, who is a I don't know his actual name. I don't know his specific title is, but he works at the company that has like Belvedere vodka and Hennessy. And so he's like involved in like the sales and distribution of it. And he's always like, yeah, you got a great job. I'm like, I don't know. You got a great job too. He had to go up to Asheville for like a, you know, brand ambassador thing. Right. But it's like, you know, it's just cool. It's like cool events centered around selling booze.
Yeah. See, I don't like that. I don't like schmoozing. I don't like networking. That's all in your wheelhouse. And if you have the opportunity to have a few pops in the meantime, that's perfect.
Exactly.
I'm okay with the pops part. I just don't want to talk to people. Can I be a good salesman doing that?
What is the name of the... I forget the name of the company. I always know the name of the... Anyway. Carry on.
All right. That's all I got. Got anything else, Brad? Anything you want to...
No, look, I'll just say, look, I've been listening to you guys for years, and I think you do an awesome job. So, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that. I think there's a million options for football podcasts out there. So every once in a while, I'll hear you guys read some review of someone being like, oh, you did too much banter, you didn't get into football. Like, don't listen to any of that stuff, man. Like, those of us have been listening forever, man. Like, we love your guys' personalities and the banter on it. Like, yeah, talk football. We came to hear some football and stuff. But so I appreciate what you guys are doing. It makes the gym or the car rides, you know, a little bit more entertaining every day. So appreciate, you know, getting a chance to come on and hang with you guys.
Look at that. Brad got in a Sean Wagner McGuff gym reference.
But I mean, I appreciate that because it is like, I think a lot of times, and especially like if, you know, as the you know podcast, it's not like the podcast is growing, you know, exponentially, but it grows, you know, the more we do it. And it's like a lot of time people will come to this and think like, oh, I want the, you know, like the ESPN, like, or just, you know, generic.
Most podcasts put the nonsense at the back end. We start off with the nonsense.
I think a lot of times you would expect it just to be like hardcore, like talking points and like
bullet point one.
And that's not really what, yeah, it's not.
Well, like, and also like you can get one negative review sometimes and like personalize it. And it's like, it doesn't represent like the masses of other people, but like you'll concentrate on that one thing and be like, dang, should we like not do this anymore? Should we change our style? Like, no, forget that.
This is super meta, but look at us. Listen to the
job. Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Of all the podcasts to be listening to, the one where he's gotten a shout out in like 2 months.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, we haven't mentioned Sean.
Spanky.
That's Spanky Wank Man. One of the weird things about this job too is that like, you know, you have a lot, and I guess it's true for any job, but it's like, you know, you do a podcast like Sean did the podcast with us for like what, 2 years
at least. Yeah,
yeah, we worked with him forever, and it's like, and then you know he leaves, and he's and, you know, it's like you know, like you said, people you work with who like it could quickly float in and out. I feel like maybe more than most normal jobs.
Wait, one last quick question. I just literally remember this. When the show first started, it was supposed to specifically be like 6 topics.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So how quickly did you completely abandon the notion that you're supposed to
within 6 shows? Within 6 shows. Yeah, okay. Probably so one show.
It's kind of hard to remember that was like the original premise. Of like-
it's funny you mentioned that, Brad, because sometimes on HQ, the anchors will do a read going into commercial and say, you know, subscribe to the Pick 6 podcast. They cover 6 topics and 30 minutes, and I'm like, that's not true.
Like, have you listened to it? That's the opposite of what we do. Yeah. I'll cover one topic in 60 minutes.
Okay, but yeah. Now that was like, so originally what happened was, is that they were like, we want you to do a daily NFL podcast. And there's a bunch of back and forth emails about different names. And like, had we been the Pick 6 podcast before?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been that name the Pick 6 podcast. We've been the Iron Football podcast. We've been like pro football. They moved, they changed the name constantly. A very and that's the other thing too. Like, I mean, I probably should. You know, I'm going to stick. Get myself in trouble.
Good thing we're talking about other jobs you can get.
No, but I was going to say, like, I think that people don't understand sometimes that because we do work at Paramount now, but like CBS Sports and CBS Interactive, like it's not like, you know, it is a big corporate. You know, it is a big corporation, and there is, you know, they're on the back end, it's not, you know, it's. You know, it's not all watching football like all the time. There are other stuff, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, what are you talking about?
I mean, it's not whatever. Anyway, point being is like we can't just be like we're naming this podcast what we want. Sometimes get changed, and it wasn't up to us because that's just how
you know,
jobs and offices work. And I think I sent in like a bunch of different suggestions. It's like, and finally, I was like, "How about the Pick 6 podcast?" They're like, "Yeah, that's great. Let's go with it." And I was like, "All right," and. Then we briefly tried to cover 6 topics, and that was just not going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, the chronology, right. The name Pick 6 came previously, and then they tried to shoehorn into like an overarching theme to the show that clearly wasn't going to work with the...
But the other credit, to the big working for a big corporation, you see the logo over the top, right or left, where it is, Breaches sweatshirt. Like, we get, you know... We get like if we're an independent podcast, we don't have like a bunch of, you know, like we don't have somebody doing good graphic design for us, you know?
Yeah. And we'd pay full price instead of 95% on the merch. Fair enough.
That's too funny. Well, if you're ever out in San Diego, Brinson, I know you like to golf. Come play some Torrey, right?
I will take care of that.
Got some good San Diego IPAs ready to rock you.
For the best IPAs out there. Yeah, yeah. I really need to. I'm like, we're sitting in a hurricane here. I need to, like, the idea of being out like San Diego playing Torrey and like drinking IPA sounds incredible.
Fun fact that you missed before the podcast, Brinson. Brad and I both proposed to our wives in La Jolla, California. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Both still married, made it work.
Good job. Yeah, I mean, I'm down for a San Diego trip. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, I guess. Since Brad's only taking you golfing, I guess Breach and I will go visit the places he's murdered
go to La Mesa and hang out there, Wilson. I'll show you the trolley stop.
Right around Torrey Pines in a golf cart.
We might have some cat cafes out here or something.
I love a good cat cafe.
Cat internet cafe.
That's all for everybody.
I'm banned from most of them, but I think the one in San Diego I'm still allowed to go to.
If you're banned from cat cafes, you weirdo.
That's a thing.
You try to steal the cats.
Okay. Duh. All right. I think that's our cue.
All right. You're the host here, pal.
Brad, thank you. Brinson, you didn't thank Brad for supporting St. Jude's and for some losing the bet to come on talk to us idiots for 56 minutes.
Yeah, thank you, Brad, for supporting us. And thank you for the actual support of the podcast by listening and your kind words.
Yeah,
for
absolutely. Sure, yeah. That was awesome, Brad. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
That was fun, man.
All right, guys. We'll see you. I don't know what's next. What's today? Thursday night. We're back for the podcast tonight to recap the Bengals' crushing loss to the Dolphins. Ooh. Fingers crossed. All right, see you later.
What else, Brinson? Pre-game show.
Oh, we're doing a pre-game show today. Yeah, I gotta go do TV with Shine, too. So.
You sound happy. All right, that's it.
I am happy. It's just football. Woo-hoo, football.
Brinson's all over the internet today, so just turn the internet on. He'll be there.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, guys.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.